This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruchim Abayim. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua, Daf Ayin Tes Amad Aleph. We begin on Ayin Ches Amad Beis, three lines from the bottom. Hahi Itza, there was a woman, Deba'i De Tavrechinu Lenichsa Migavra. She wanted to chase away her possessions from her husband. She did not want her husband that she was marrying to have rights to her property in case, let's say, she would die or he would or get divorced. So she didn't want this husband to have any rights to it. She was an almana. She's coming to get married. And therefore, she wanted to make sure that going into the marriage, she had no possessions. So what did she do? Kasvas sinhu lebarta. She wrote all of her possessions to her daughter. This way, when she's going into the marriage, she's not bringing in any possessions. But she only gave it to her daughter to keep it away from the husband. But she didn't really want to give it to the daughter. So what happened? In Saba, she got married. And vigarsha. And she got divorced. Asala kamed Rav Nachman. She comes before Rav Nachman because she wanted her possessions back. She said, I only gave it to my daughter because I didn't want him to have it. But now that he divorced me and I'm on my own, I want my possessions back. I don't want my daughter to have it. So even though the daughter now says, what do you mean? You wrote a document that you gave it to me. It's mine. You wrote a shtar that you gave it to me. So Kari Rav Nachman the shtar. Rav Nachman tore up the shtar because she only gave it to keep it away from the husband, but she didn't really mean to give it to the daughter. Azal Ravanan lekamei de Mar Okva. Ravanan went before Mar Okva. Mar Okva was a dayan, Amarlei, and Ravanan said to him, Chazi Mar, see Mar, meaning see master, Nachman chakla heichi mikar shtar d'inchi. See how Nachman, the simpleton, the simple one, he tears up people's shtarais. Rav Nachman obviously is not an expert in monetary law. He just tears up people's shtarais. Amar lei, Samar Ukva said, Emily easy, tell me now, gufat over the hechiyavet, what happened? Amar lei, so Rav Nachman said, hachi v'hachiyavet, this was the story. A woman wrote shtar, giving her nechasim to her daughter, and now she got divorced. She wants it back. Amar lei, so Mar Ukva said, shtar mavrachas kamrit. You're talking about a shtar just to keep it away from their husband? Then, in that case, Rav Nachman acted properly. Hachi amar Rabbi Chanilai bar Idi amar Shmuel. This is what Rabbi Chanilai bar Idi said, name of Shmuel. Moira hoira ani. I am a moira hoira, meaning I am administered, I'm authorized by the Reish Galusa. What does that mean, I'm authorized? That means, in order to be a dayan, you have to basically have judgment insurance, that if you make a mistake, you're not going to have to compensate the hurt party. So you had to have that authorization from the government. So Reb Chanilai Bar Idi said, look, I am authorized. Im yavay shtar mavrachas yadei akareno. And if a shtar, just to keep it away from a husband, was written, then I tear it up to give the woman her property back. So Rav Anan complained to Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva said, no, that Mar Ukva said Rav Nachman acted correctly. Amar le Rav le Rav Nachman. So Rav said to Rav Nachman, again, Rav Nachman tore up the shtar. Taim amai. What's the reason that Shmuel said, we just said, Rabbi Chanilai Bar Idi said, in the name of Shmuel, what's the reason why Shmuel said that he would be koreah, that he would tear it up? Because Shmuel says it's not reasonable that a person would forsake himself and give it to someone else. A person would not forsake himself and give it to someone else. Meaning, why would the person give away his property to somebody else at his own expense. People are nice, but not at their own expense. That's the logic of Shmuel. Meaning we know that the person didn't really mean it to give it to the daughter. They only wrote it to the daughter to keep it away from the husband. Says Gemara, Hani Mili Lachrini. The logic of such a din is that a person wouldn't give it a normal shtar mavrachas, you write it to a stranger. So we assume you wouldn't give it to a stranger at your own expense. So Hani Mili Lachrini. That's only you wouldn't give it to someone else. Avalabarta Yahiva. But you would give it to your daughter. A mother would give it to her daughter. So maybe the whole logic would not apply over here. Says Gemara, Afilu hachi, nevertheless, bimkayim berata, nafsha difala. In the place of a daughter, she herself is better. Meaning even though a person would give a gift to a daughter, but again, chayecha kaidim, a person would not give to a child at their own expense. That's so the logic of Shmuel does apply in this case. A person would not give to a daughter at their own expense. Meisvei, so they asked on Rav Nachman from Abraisa Haroitza Shetavriach Nechaseh Mibayla. Somebody, a woman, wants to chase away her property from her husband. She wants to keep it away from him. Ketzat Hioisa. So what should she do? She writes a promissory note to others. What does that mean? Normally, a shtar pasim is if you want to seem rich. So you have somebody write you a check that they owe you money, but in this case, shtar pasim means that you write a shtar that the property belongs to someone else. Basically, you're writing that this property belongs to someone else. This way, your husband doesn't take it. So she writes a shtar pasim, again, that her property belongs to others. And this way, she keeps it away from the husband. Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. These are the words of Shimon Gamliel. Chachamim, the Chachamim say, Ratzah Metzachik Ba. If she writes that, then the one who got the land could laugh at her and keep the property. So it's not going to help to write that she gives it to someone else, because then that person could take it away. Ad she'tichtov, unless she writes, like, to the one she's giving it to, mehayoyim, I'm giving it to you from today, v'lechesh'erza, when I want it to be effective. This way, if the husband ever comes to take it away, then she could say, I want to give it to someone else, and it's effective retroactively. The husband doesn't want to take it away, then she doesn't give it as a gift. But taima dekasaliachi. The reason why this is a good etzah, the reason why the Chacham say this works is because she made this tanai, haloi kasaliachi. But if she didn't make this tanai, then and she just wrote a shtar giving it to someone, kaninhi loikeach, then the one she gave it to is kind of it. So how could Shmuel say the shtar is torn up? But here we see the only etzah is to make a tanai that you're giving it mehayom from now, but l'chsha'ertza when you want. Meaning you're giving it now, but it's only effective if you want it to be effective. And if the husband does not interfere, then you're not giving it. Now, by the way, stam, why does this work? Because what would the halacha be if the husband is going to say, well, I want your nechasim. So then she says, oh, well, I want it to be a matana. So then in that case, it should belong to the one who she gave it to. But the bottom line is, from here we see that it's only she'll only get it back if she made this tonight. Otherwise, the lokeach keeps it. So how could Shmuel say that you tear up the shtar? So I'm Rav Zera lokeach, habakula. Shmuel said you tear up the shtar if she's giving away all her property. If she gives away all her property to somebody else, then it's clearly only to keep it away from the husband and you could tear it up. Habamiktsasa, but this braisa, where we don't tear it up, and it's actually a good matana unless she makes that tanai is talking about if she only gave part of her nechasim. Now, the Gemara asks the following unbelievable question. Now, if, according to Shmuel, that think about what Shmuel says. If you wrote all your nechasim, it's not effective. So then the loikeach doesn't get it. So if the loikeach doesn't get it, and we tear it up, then the husband should get it. Nikneinu baal. I mean, think about it. The loikeach wanted to say, oh, it's mine. You wrote a shtar to me. It's mine. So Shmuel tore it up. Well, then the husband should get it. Mimanav shach. If it's not an effective matana, the husband should get it. Says the Gemara. You know why the husband doesn't get it? Amar Abaye. Abaye said, if you remember back in the Mishnah, the opinion of Rab Shimon was the husband gets the nechasim if it's nechasim that he was banking on, that he anticipated to get. But if it's nechasim that fell to her min Medina Sayam, he doesn't get it. So you know what we're talking about here? We're treating the nechasim that she writes in a shtar to someone else, they're like nechasim that the husband never knew about and never anticipated to get. Meaning the husband thought that she gave a matana to someone else, so he never anticipated getting it. So in the eyes of the husband, it's like nechasim that fell to her from overseas that he never expected to get. So the Gemara says, Asom ki nechasim shein yadum labal. They made it like nechasim that were never known to the husband, va'alib de Rab Shimon, in like the opinion of Rab Shimon that we learned earlier. Okay, we're gonna hold it here. We'll pick it up tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow night. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you,
recording stopped.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, okay, good evening, friends. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua Maseches Ksubos. We're on the Mishnah on Ayin Tesamet Aleph. So, basically, that the property of a woman that either she gains after she gets married or were not put in the ksuba called nechse milug, and she owns the karen, the principal, and he has the peros. So the Mishnah says, naflula kesafim, let's say money fell to her. So she inherited money. So now what is this? This is karen. But how is he supposed to eat the peros? So what does she do? Yilakach b'hen karka, she should buy land, v'hu oichal peros. And he eats the fruits. And she gets the karen. Because the chachamim only gave the husband in exchange for redeeming the wife, if she's captive, all he gets is peros. Fine. Peros Hatlushin min hakarka. What if fruits fall to the woman? Now what is that? Now that it fell to her, it's really karen, it's principle, but how is he supposed to eat the fruits? So what does he do? Yilakach b'hen karka, you buy land with that fruit, v'hu oichal peros, and he eats the fruit. So that's if peros tlushin fell. So they sell it, and they buy land, and he eats the fruits. What if peros hamechubarim bekarka fall? What if fruit attached to the land? What if fruit attached to the ground fell? Is that fruits? And if it's fruits, so then what, we sell it and he eats the fruits? Or how do we view that? So, the fruit that's attached to the ground, Amar Ameir, Ameir said, Shaman Oisa, we evaluate it, Kamahi Yafe, the peros, how much is the land worth with the fruit? The Kamahi Yafe Beloi peros, how much is it worth without the fruit? And that value, you sell, you take that money, and you buy land, and from that land, v'hu oichal peiros. So basically, we're saying that mechubarim bekarka is not peiros, is keren. In other words, if it's attached to the land, it's keren, but it's not keren that he could be oichal mimenu. So we sell it, and then from that he, we buy land, and he eats the fruits. Fine. Now, the Mishnah continues that the Chachamim argue in the Tanakhama, and if it's attached to the land, it's not necessarily keren, but rather the Chachamim. If it's attached to the land, it belongs to him. It's his. It's fruits. So it's his. V'atlushim in akarka, if it's disattached, shala. It's hers. It's principal. V'yilakach behen karka, and you buy land, v'hu echal peris, and he eats the fruits. In other words, if it's disattached, that's the keren. That's the keren, we sell it, and she owns the land. Meaning we sell it, we buy land, she owns the land, and he eats the fruits. But if it's attached to the land, so that's peiros, and that belongs to him, according to the Chachamim. Rameir says, no, if it's attached to the land, it's also keren, and you sell it, and you buy land, and he eats the fruits. The Chachamim say if it's attached to the land, it belongs to him. Reb Shimon says, similar to the Chachamim, Makoim sheyafa koichai b'knisasa hayra koichai b'yitziyasai. Where his strength is strong on the way in, what does that mean, where his strength is strong on the way in? And basically, when he has a certain kayach on the way into the marriage, so that's when he loses his kayach on the way out. But if his kayach is weak on the way in, then he's strong on the way out. So the Mishnah explains, Ketzad. How do we explain that? Peirois ha-mechubarim le-karka. Peiros that are attached to the ground. So if it's attached to the ground, the Chachamim said, it's his, b'chnisasei shaloi, it's his. He gets to benefit from it. But if it's his, it's because it's peiros. But he's only allowed to have peiros so long as he's married to her. V'vitziyasei shaloi, and on the way out, it belongs to her. V'hatlushin min akarka, but if it's not connected to the ground, so then it's keren. So on the way in, it belongs to her. So when he marries her, so then it belongs to her, because it's keren uvitziyasa shalai, but on the way out, it belongs to him. What does that mean? Whatever, l'chayra, what does that mean, it belongs to him? Rashi says, "The mashakadam v'tash ba'ida tachtav zachabahen." Whatever he used while he was still married, he zoichen et midin perois milug. Okay, now is there any difference between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim? Right now, we don't really see a difference between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Zok tehilug gemara. So now, when we have perois, the Mishnah said, or kesef. Right, nafalak safim yilakach behem karka, or nafalula peris tulushin yilakach behem karka. So, what kind of real estate should they buy? They might disagree. You know, let's say he says, "I want to buy an apartment in New York," and she says, "I want to buy an apartment in Gaza." You know, what's considered real estate? Says Gemara, pshita ara ubati. Let's push it if they argue. So you buy a land or a house, ara, you buy land. Why? Rashi explains land has a higher profit margin and it is more durable. It doesn't rot. So if either he or she says, I want land, either because it's more profitable or because it lasts longer, we listen to either him or her. Bati vidikli, either a house or a date palm, bati, also because it's more profitable and it lasts longer. Dikli v'ilani, if it's a choice between a date palm and a regular tree, dikli, a date palm. Ilani v'gufni, a tree or a grapevine, ilani. What about the following case? Abba zeradata upera dechavari. A forest, abba, a yar, as she says, zeradata. Of zeradata. Zeradata is a type of fruit. What type of fruit? A certain type of tree that has a certain kind of berry, which is not a good kind of fruit, so it was used primarily la'itzim for wood. Uperi dechvari. Peri dechvari is a fish pond. So normally you're supposed to sell something for something that is profitable and not only profitable, but it will last long. But what if it's a question about any of these two factors? So Gemara says, so it fell to her, a forest of this kind of bad fruit, or a pond of fish. Amri la peri. Some say that the wood or the fish is considered like fruit. So what's the halacha if it's considered like fruit? He could use it. But Amrilan say karna. Some say it's considered like the karen. And if it's considered like the karen, meaning if it's considered like fruit, you don't sell it. What do we do? The husband gets benefit from the wood or the fish, and the karen belongs to her. But according to the other opinion, that it's considered karen, and therefore we sell it, and he could be nana from the fruit. So some say it's like fruit, and some say it's like karen. Klala demosa, the general rule of determining whether something is considered karen or peri is gizay machlef, if it's ikur, if it's the geza is the stump. If the stump, machalef, if it could regrow, let's say meaning it could recreate itself, it could replenish itself, then peri, that's considered fruit. Ein gezei machalef, if it's not something that could regenerate, so then karna, then it's considered karen and you sell it and he gets the fruits. Okay, that's what I got for you. So this concludes Adaf Ayin Tesamun Aleph. Hopefully we could find the time tomorrow to do Ayin Tesamun Beis. Okay, thank you very much. Have a great night. Hatzlach Rabbah. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.